It's Thursday, January 7th, 2016, and we're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 131, Dinosaur Slave Run. Runtime for this episode is 50 minutes. Hello and welcome to a brand new year of Last Time on Video Games. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler.
I don't remember the last year. Who am I?
You're Vagabond.
You're the ghost of Christmas Past.
I guess, yeah, I remember. I'm Zach.
Okay.
What, did you fall into an abyss with Gandalf back there? Or?
No.
It's been so long, I can't remember.
The New Year's kind of hazy.
All right, what's up, you guys? Probably nothing, because we've actually recorded once a week
right?
for like 10 weeks now.
Whoa.
I think we're like 5, actually. But
man, what has been happening? I don't know. It's actually been a remarkably busy week.
So, Tyler, what have you been playing in your busyness?
Actually quite a few things. I'm almost done with Assassin's Creed. I feel like I played it a lot longer than the game says I have.
Like, are you actually almost done with the storyline, or are you just almost done with it as in you physically are almost done with it?
A little bit of both.
Did you get to Mississippi yet, or wherever in America you end up? Louisiana, probably?
No, I haven't done that yet.
It's dumb. Don't worry. It's not the dumbest, but that's when things start to get dumb.
But I have a fully upgraded mansion, so...
Oh, that's cool. Did you get the secret armor?
I did, yeah. That's okay, so I actually got the key, and I went back to the island that your pirate fortress is located on. I'm like, oh, I missed a treasure chest back there. I'll go grab that really quick. I'm like, okay, this island's complete, and then I just left. And then, like, 3 hours later, Alex is like, didn't you go there to go get the Mayan armor? I'm like, oh, yeah, or the Templar armor. I'm like, yeah, you're right, I did. But no, I have mostly been on sweet diving adventures. They have a couple assassination missions where you have to, like, dive into a cove and go assassinate people. And it doesn't really tell you what's going on. I'm like, am I still in diving mode? Did the game just glitch? What just happened here?
I bowed out before I actually got diving unlocked.
I just didn't like diving.
It's okay. I really like the diving assassination missions. I just wish it had been a little clearer in explaining what the hell was going on, because I thought the game was glitching. Although I have actually found one where I, like, go into the area. There are a bunch of guys there. My target does not exist in that room. And I watch, like, some guy on the internet go do it, and the guy's, like, right around the corner. And doesn't exist there for me, so...
Are you sure you're not playing Assassin's Creed Unity?
Yeah. You'd think that. Actually, I have not had many bugs. I remember way back when this game first came out, people had, like, screenshots of the jacked-off floating up into the sky and stuff. I haven't had any problems with that. So far, I'm just missing an assassination target. Let's hear what else. Oh, yeah. Cloud came out for Smash.
It's not Hector, not interested.
Actually, it came out on my birthday, so...
Ah, happy birthday. Here's a Cloud. Right.
Yeah,
it's going to
exactly.
rain on you in Seattle.
He's actually really good. I don't know that he's going to be considered top tier, but he's easily on the high end of my list of characters I can play pretty well. So,
not Ike.
Actually, he's like a weird combination between Ike and... God, what is his name? He's from the same line of things as the awesome robot game.
Rob?
No, the awesome robot game. The one you're playing right now.
Shulk? X.
Yes, thank you, Shulk. There we go.
Oh, okay.
He's really feeling it. But he feels like a weird combination of Shulk and Ike to me, except his sword doesn't make really satisfying hits like a truck noises, so it still hits like a truck, it just doesn't make truck noises.
Is he faster or slower than Ike?
Well, I mean, Ike's actually a lot faster than I think he is. Okay, so my mental conception of Ike is that he's slow and plodding, but he actually runs pretty fast, so I think he's a little bit faster than Ike. He also has some projectile attacks, although his smash attacks are slightly less devastating.
Well, that's kind of Ike's thing, is to be as absolutely devastating as possible in one solid hit.
Yeah, no, Cloud has a pretty decent ground game and kind of a aerial game, but he has a pretty good keep away. He has a fun mechanic, which I think they showcase it in the trailer, where you can build up a limit break like you do in Final Fantasy VII, although his down B is just charge the limit break, and then any of your special moves, so the ones that you use the B button for, are supercharged.
Is his down B got a limit break, or is it just...
I think it's supposed to be a limit break out of the game, but I don't recognize it. He, like, spins around in, like, a tornado, and if you get caught in it, it's ridiculously high damage.
So he's Meta Knight from Brawl for 2 seconds.
Exactly. No, it's like a really does the same like slow down and zoom in that it does with Little Max KO uppercut. So I don't know what it's supposed to be. The other one is like, so his standard B is the like ground slash, and the limit break version, I think, is the actual limit break version from the game.
Uh-huh. Braver.
Or his up B is the, I forget what it's called. It's the one where he like slashes into something, then jumps really high and slashes back down on them.
Uh-huh.
It's like,
so it's kind of like Ike's.
Yeah, it actually behaves very similarly. If you press the B button again in midair, you'll slam down, so you can avoid the coming down part of it. I don't know why you would most of the time, other than to like trick out your opponent's timing. And his forward B is the weird limit break where he like slashes a bunch of marks into the air. I think in the actual game it lowers the defense. In Smash, it's just his, it's like the equivalent of Dolphin Dance for Marth. Is a lot of fun. Also, I've been playing Bravely Default. I don't have a whole lot to say about it yet, other than that it's actually a really fun game. So,
what is your sweet party setup so far?
I have 2 monks, a freelancer, and a white mage. So, go team. Partially because I don't have any black mage spells yet, so I've got this sweet class and nothing to do with it.
Black mage ends up kind of being a lame class, unfortunately. It's good early on because of exploiting elemental weaknesses, but magic does not scale in that game.
So it's like 3-5 warriors?
Yes.
Or fighters?
If 3-5 fighters had to pay 45 mana to use their terrible feats.
Wow.
I'm monkey fisting.
That sounds a little wrong, Tyler.
You're welcome.
Or like a Monkey D. Luffy attack. Or both.
No, he'd probably call that Gum Gum Fist. So.
He would.
Doesn't he call it Gum Gum Fist? Doesn't he have an attack that does that?
Well, he's got Gum Gum Pistol, which is his fist, but...
Yeah, well, some of his names are animal puns that are also American arms manufacturers.
Huh. That is oddly specific.
Like Gomu Gomu Elephant Gun.
Oh, okay.
And Red Hawk and something else.
I didn't actually know that. Well, I knew he named most of them after various forms of firearms. Which is actually kind of odd because, like...
Oh, Grizzly Magnum. That's my favorite.
Grizzly Magnum.
Gomu Gomu na! Grizzly Magnum!
What the hell does that do?
I think he makes his arms super strong like rocks and then does Gomu Gomu Gatling.
Okay.
It's been a while.
So is One Piece done yet?
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Maybe one day, but it is not this day.
One of my coworkers was talking about it recently. He's like, yeah, I think he has like 13 more years planned, so...
I don't think it's that many, but...
You never
quite
know.
Quite a few.
I mean, it's basically just a very long, continuous Silver Age comic book.
Yeah.
But video games. I played some 7 Days to Die. They made a bunch of updates.
Our server was destroyed.
Yeah, our, like, 3 days of progress was destroyed. Okay, so I have found exactly one glitch, and I cannot reproduce it. I have no idea what happened. I was cooking something. Oh, you can turn campfires on and off now, so it's just not, like, constantly burning stuff. So I was, like, cooking an egg and turned off the campfire and took my wood back, and I had a full value of max int wood stack all of a sudden when I only had, like, 100 in there in the first place. I'm like, well, guess I got all this wood now. I'm gonna build a house. So... So I built myself a little wooden fortress out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, sometime we need to get you, me, Cody, and Kevin all in on a game.
But what have you been playing? Not 7 Days to Die.
No, I haven't. Although I tried to get you in on a Payday game to play the new Christmas heist.
I was online for a couple minutes, and like no one seemed to be doing anything. I'm like, I'm going to go play Splatoon. So I switched my view over to Splatoon. So, and then I switched back like 3 hours later, and they're like, oh, well, I guess I should have waited 5 minutes, but...
Yeah, I got the achievement Shotgun 101, which made me really happy. I'm apparently one of only 3% of the population that has that particular achievement.
Although, to be fair, and I pointed this out after he mentioned this, only 60% of the people who own Payday have actually even played the game, so...
Yeah, it's actually kind of funny.
I wonder what on Steam is the most bought, least played game.
That is a really good question.
Good question, yeah. But Shotgun 101 is... at least 50 kills with 101% accuracy or better with the shotgun. And I had something like 340 kills on the new Christmas heist.
Wait, they added a new one?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, are you heisting Santa's workshop? That would be the best.
That's exactly what it's called, the Santa's workshop.
Are you actually heisting from Santa?
No, you're not.
Because that would not be out of the realm of possibility for this game.
I was
Rudolph!
I really was hoping.
Tie those elves up. Make sure the reindeer don't go anywhere. Remember, reindeer are assets.
Yeah. Like, you've got a few guys that are making coke and presents for you, and you have to take them to, a drop-off point.
So it's like the people who are manufacturing coke or stuff from White Christmas.
It's Vlad.
But do you put the coke in containers with Santa on them?
No, but you put them in a chimney.
Hmm? Okay.
And it's one of those levels where it constantly will go until you leave.
Okay. I actually like those a lot. Because if your team's pretty decent, you can make a lot of money.
We made quite a bit, me and Kevin did. I was, through that mission, I was using the Jocelyn.
I really like the Jocelyn.
It is
objectively not a very good weapon, but it's a lot of fun.
It's got a lot it's actually got more range than you'd think from a shotgun.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
But the double-barreled thing makes it not great.
When I'm carrying the Jocelyn, I tend to use it as my secondary.
At the time, we were trying to get an achievement for doing the level with all shotguns.
Okay.
So, Kevin had the stakeout and the judge, and I had the Jocelyn and the judge.
I mean, the judge is the correct choice, although the locomotive can be useful.
I haven't tried the other one. I was planning on using the other one next time I played, but I M104 barrel extension. Tried to use it, and the M104 is just such a terrible gun.
It's not very good.
Even after the rebalance that they did on the guns.
Mm-hmm. I was actually going to ask if they rebalance that. Are pistols less ridiculously overpowered?
We only use the Mativer and the Peacemaker anyway, so no. They both still do 180 damage.
Okay, so they didn't really change that much.
No, my Gruber Cruise got even worse. It wasn't great to begin with.
But moral of the story, you can still take out a bulldozer with a Mativer?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
What is this, Counter-Strike?
Other than that, I've been playing a lot of League. They re-released the Legend of the Poro King game mode.
You talked about that last week.
Did I?
Yeah, and Tyler was like, Poros, and I was like, they're like Haros.
Yep. I never remember.
Why would anyone buy a Haro? I don't get it. They're so annoying.
They're the worst.
I got to play Skarner, who has a wonky interaction. His ultimate, he grabs somebody, and he can drag them back to his team. But in this game mode, normally he's not supposed to be able to do anything when he's doing that, but he can actually cast one of the summoner spells, which takes him back to the Poro King. So he can use his ultimate on somebody and then go all the way back to the Poro King, which might be halfway across the map.
That's actually kind of awesome.
It's kind of silly, but...
I'm kind of surprised they haven't patched that out yet.
It's a featured game mode. It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
Some of them they've had to do balance on, but for the most part, no one cares.
I guess the featured game modes they're not ranked, right?
No, it's only around for, a month at the most.
Oh, I have mildly exciting news relating to Splatoon that I completely forgot about because I considered it such a non-event afterwards. But I hit S+, so yay.
Congratulations.
Now I'm working my way up to S-Infinity is actually a rank.
S-Infinity.
I played a game yesterday on Legend of the Poro King where I was playing Mundo the Mega Tank and got into a 1v1 fight with the enemy duelist champion samurai guy, Yasuo. And he's dashing around and auto-attacking me. And I'm just sitting there as the Mega Tank auto-attacking him to death. And it was I'm going to kill you. No.
I thought Yasuo infinitely healed because the game was broken right now.
No, they nerfed that. Okay. It's every, 4 seconds or something like that. But you know who also infinitely heals?
Mundo. Well, yeah, I'm just saying it seems like he would be a samurai stabbing you constantly, and you would be a Mundo being stabbed forever.
He was trying to, but I had my E maxed, so I gained 100 bonus AD just for using that. So I hit harder than he did, because I also had defense. I don't think I killed him, because somebody else did. Killed a Poppy mid-charge, which was funny.
A Poppy?
She's a little Yordle with a big hammer.
A Yordle?
She's like a hobbit. They're hobbits.
Okay.
They're hobbits, only the girls are sexy.
For reasons.
But they don't have hairy feet? Come on, that's someone's fetish.
The guys are all hairy. The girls are zero hairy.
It was funny, though, because he tried to charge into me, and I just threw my cleaver from Mundo at her, and she died. I was trolling I kind of trolled a LeBlanc earlier today in that game mode because she, tried to dash at me when I was playing Varus and hit her with my snare. So she's like, I'm going to dash in and kill that guy. Thunk. I'm stuck. Yep. So I killed her. It was pretty fun.
Anything else, Zach?
Yep, because we started our Pokemon game.
Why did I pick a game that requires all of the pre-planning forever? I'm a terrible person to myself.
And then want to let us go, Lynn, let the players loose.
Yeah.
Yeah, how are you managing, Pokemon battles that way? Because, they're normally one-on-one.
So. I cheat.
the encounter balance in that game is really, really weird. For like a 4-person party, you're expected to send 6 to 8 Pokemon at them at a time. It's weird.
Wow, that's really high, because we kind of struggled when you only had 3 against 3.
Yeah, but they were trained. They had trainers there. Also, Jason wasn't adding his special attack, or Jason wasn't adding his stats to his attacks, which is a pretty big problem, because you would have taken out one of those Growlithe pretty quickly if he'd been doing that.
Does the Pokemon combat work more or less like actual Pokemon, where you like...
They are so slavishly trying to recreate the game. It's kind of silly. But the capture formula is way easier, because it would have to be.
But...
It's still too complicated, but it's way easier.
Like, I've got a Fennekin, and I caught a Zigzagoon, which has no experience right now, and is almost dead.
Jason caught a Willipede that only knows Defense Curl.
Venipede.
Venipede.
Wow, man, that's bad luck. Are the moves that it knows randomly assigned out of the pool that it can? Or?
No, it's based on its level. It's currently level 4. It learns Poison Sting at level 5.
Venipede, use Defense Curl. Okay, now I'm going to use it as a bowling ball.
I mean, do you still get like...
Venipede, use Tackle.
Do you still do the experience split with Pokemon when you switch them out in mid-battle?
You get to choose how you distribute experience to the Pokemon that battled.
Oh, okay, that's actually really cool.
And also, he wants to be a contest person, so...
Oh, so it doesn't really care that it doesn't know anything?
It needs 2 moves, though, because you can't use the same move in a contest multiple times in a row.
Use Defense Curl! It's so beautiful!
Like, my guy doesn't fight by league rules at all, because when my Pokemon attack, I attack.
Also, Jason knows Confusion, so he could send out his Venipede, be like, Defense Curl, okay, wait, I got this.
Wait, Jason knows Confusion.
And Teleport, and Ally Switch, and Kinesis, and Barrier.
He's got a lot of powers.
Okay. I was gonna say, is he a Pokemon?
Yeah, he's totally actually a Gardevoir in disguise.
I mean, you guys have seen the theory that humans in the Pokemon universe are just
Pokemon,
a species of Pokemon. Okay.
No, and Kevin knows Force Palm and Detect.
I know
Zach knows Shoot Thing with Bow.
That's the most effective ability. You should upgrade to Gun.
I couldn't afford one.
Zach learned Gun.
And Cody knows I'm good at catching Pokemon, guys. I swear.
Yeah, Cody...
I'm also really good at switching them out, but I only have one.
Wait,
because
is it,
he almost
is switching them out of skill in this.
There's a class that focuses on rapidly switching Pokemon.
Oh, like a juggler. Basically?
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's like Capstone Ability is whenever you switch, you can treat it like you use Baton Pass.
That sounds awesome,
Tyler. This is also within the party that has a member that is totally intending to just have 6 Pokemon out at all times.
Okay, that's true. Are you still only allowed to carry 6?
Yeah.
Is there
you
like?
That's up to the GM, but yes.
Is there, like, an in-game reason why that is?
Because if you have more than that, your Pokemon get, like, hard to command, and
so it's mostly
difficult
to
manage.
Okay.
It's for your own safety.
But because of this, I started a new playthrough of X. And it has been a little bit more interesting because I have been wonder trading everything I've caught because I've instituted my own little challenge rule for myself of... Anything I catch, I can't use.
So how many Mewtwo's do you have?
I have none. However, I struggled with the second gym because I've run into a weird problem. Most of my party wouldn't listen to me.
Yeah.
Because they were above level 30 by the time I got there.
That's a problem with wonder trading.
Yep.
Wasn't even just that. My Braxian was over level 32.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So my team is currently Braxian.
You have to turn off that XP share, bro.
Ivysaur. Mudkip. I got lucky with a level 1 Mudkip.
That's actually kind of awesome.
Which is like level 33 Marshtomp now. But after those 3, you can find out what the problem of my team is real easy. I've got one of those like glob things. Not
Gulpin?
Goomy. Not Gulpin or Goomy. It's the psychic like nucleus thing.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know what that's called, but I know what you mean.
Soleus, I want to say?
I think I've got the second evolution of that. So like Dooliel or something like that. Then I've got a Haunedge and
good
a Kadabra. What's the problem here?
Not enough psychic types. Need more.
Haunedge isn't psychic.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's just ghost, steel, and made of wind.
So. Yeah, my current problem is I have 3 psychic types, 1 water, ground, and an Ivysaur.
Why even have the Ivysaur?
Because it covers the weak point for the Braxian.
Psychic types, especially if you get the right TMs, are still some of the most overpowered types in the game.
But there is a dark gym in that game.
That would be a problem in the
future.
And
that was one of the parts I was struggling against him because Tyrant is Rock Dragon, but he knew Bite, so I couldn't really send out
one of my psychics to deal with it.
Because Bite is dark inexplicably.
And so I had
this is a dirty move.
And I basically had to rely on hoping Marsh Tom would listen to me. I was just relying, hoping, you know, please listen to me. Please just use water gun. Just use water gun, you lazy SOB. Stop loafing. Attack.
One of my favorite Pokemon is Slakoth / Slaking. Really, that entire line. Just because they'll, like, half the time just ignore you or fall asleep.
But I did manage to win first try, although it got a little hairy, little dangerous, but I won.
But you're also not playing by Nuzlocke rules, so if they...
No, they did KO my Ivysaur, but like you said, I'm not playing by Nuzlocke rules.
Also, so. It's an Ivysaur. It wouldn't have mattered anyway.
It was also the only one I hadn't started with yet.
Why all the Ivysaur hate?
I sure as hell ain't going to start with a Chespin.
Generally, the grass types are the least scalable.
Mega Venusaur is pretty great.
I have not actually used a Mega Venusaur, but like if I'm...
It's like a Breloom, only it doesn't know that punch move. And it has better stats.
And
Breloom is great.
Now that I think about it,
but it never learned Spore, and that's really the only reason to use Breloom. So.
I got lucky. I have actually a spare Fennekin. Because someone was wonder trading away the one you get at the end of the game. When What's-Her-Face...
Oh, that's right.
With
you get
a
second
grass
of the
star.
Yeah.
Or no, not the grass star. If you start with the Froakie, she's, you know, Sandra? The one that starts with your weakness gives you that Pokemon.
Your rival?
No, you're not your rival. Not the one that starts with your weakness. The one that starts with the starter weak to you. Gives you hers.
Yeah, the little girl.
Yeah. I can't think of her name. But, yeah, it's almost wonder trading that away. I ended up with it. I've seen like 3 or 4 Magikarp, and 2 of them were above level 20. It's like...
Well, clearly there's
someone else can
fisherman.
Deal with this, because I don't have. I'm not instituting a rule on how many times I can wonder trade something away from myself.
That's not really a challenge, then.
Well, I wasn't. Then I realized that was a. That wasn't really a challenge, so I stopped. So I can wonder trade things once.
I will just wait until I get some sweet Charizards.
All right, I'm just going to keep on wonder trading until I get a Zapdos.
Can you make a viable team out of only Charizards?
You have enough of them. Ha, this water gym. I have more Charizards than you have.
Y. You'd have to go Y for the sunny day. Probably not. No, especially since fire flying is Stealth Rock.
Yeah, I mean, Stealth Rock would wreck that.
Because Stealth Rock, no.
But I'm having fun with it again. Although, like you said, the problem with the wonder trading is because everything gains increased experience, most of my Pokemon are going to be wildly overleveled and not listening to me.
Turn the XP share off.
No.
It's the only option. Also,
never.
That game is all way too easy anyway. Anything else?
A little bit of Smash, but not too much. Jeremy, what have you been playing?
Pokemon
Please say
and
it's
Omega
not
Ruby.
That.
And by Pokemon Omega Ruby, I mean just Pokemon of me trying to get my Pokemon to like me when I have 2 minutes. So, and because I went 5 stars in all the minigames, basically just the way too hard puzzle switch game.
That is really hard for no reason that I can figure out.
Oh, did they add different minigames for Pokemon Me in...
No, they're the same ones.
Oh. Maybe I just never played it.
It's just a tile puzzle.
Okay.
But it's timed, and the infinite mode, you start with 30 seconds, and you have to do them all within 30 seconds, and you have to do, I think, 18 to get 5 stars, which is too many.
Yeah,
I got to 50.
Kind of ridiculous.
18 in 30 seconds?
You get time each time you complete one, but the time goes down for each one. It's really hard.
Yeah,
I did it on X. I managed to get 5 stars.
Yeah, because that would be ridiculous, because that would be less than a second per puzzle.
That's like slightly over a second, but less than a second and a half.
Less than 2 seconds is what I
yes,
meant.
Yes, that's true.
And I feel like that's been it. I played a lot of the assignment. There must have been something else, Jeremy. I worked on some models. That's not really playing a game.
Speed runners?
No. Didn't play any PC games. I played, God, I have to learn and prepare this Pokemon tabletop game. Why did I do this to myself?
And then how many players you have? 4?
Yeah.
Now imagine the point where they all have 6 Pokemon,
yep.
And you're managing 24 Pokemon on the field just from your players.
To be fair, they can only have 1 Pokemon take a turn per round.
Oh,
there,
okay.
There's a feature that lets, I think, 2
but,
take a turn in 1 round, but...
Basically, you can have as many out as you want, but trainers are too attention deficit to give orders more than 1 at once.
Yep.
I can attack as many times as I want.
Yeah, Zach can shoot his bow anytime one of his allies hits something. So speaking of enslaving animals, this week we played Super Mario World, the launch title for the Super Nintendo, known as Super Mario Bros. 4 in Japan, but in America people were like, what? Buy another console? They're just trying to rip us off. So they decided not to just call it the same game with a new number on it. It is, I think, and I'm not sure, don't lynch me, my favorite Mario game.
No, I mean, that's fair. It might be mine, too. I have a hard time deciding between this and 3.
So I have a hard 64 time
I have a hard time discerning differences between different side-scrolling Mario games. They all feel the same to me.
But this one looks so different. It's got, like, round edges.
Yeah, it's got nice cartoony graphics.
So did 3.
Only because you played the remake where they updated the graphics to be like Super Mario World.
I stand by my statement.
So the one major change is they've added a jump in this that's a spin jump.
That kept throwing me off.
It kills things faster, and also you can bounce on certain obstacles while you're spinning.
So like,
but you don't get as many points if you care about that by killing.
And you
stuff
also
with a spin
don't
jump
as high.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, never use that move. So.
Yeah, there are a few cases where it's really helpful.
Like,
but
you can jump off of the top of Spiny's enemies that
and
would
thwomps.
Normally hurt you, and just bounce off of them using this. But
it
other than that,
did take me a little while to find the other jump. Well, because that one is mapped to A.
Yes.
And on the GameCube controller, because it's a terrible controller, they have the B button is tiny. So it was real. I thought you couldn't jump.
Oh,
or not,
man.
Not jump. I thought you couldn't sprint in this game.
The GameCube controller would be terrible for this because you're constantly holding Y to run, but
yeah,
Y
it's
is
not
like
great.
Way
yeah,
the hell up with
there's it. A claw thing going on.
That's horrible. And I assume it doesn't let you remap it, right? It's like, oh, man.
But it's great on the Wii U controller.
I didn't play very much of this game.
Yeah, no, the Wii U controller has basically the same layout as the Super Nintendo controller. It's just big.
It's perfect. So in this game, you're in Dinosaur World. It's not the same as the one that you were in Super Mario Land. I think that was Dinosaur Land.
I thought that was Sarasa Land.
I thought this was something supposed to be like Yoshi Island. I know the second area is like Donut Land or something.
It is the island Yoshi is from. And the plot is Bowser kidnapped all of Yoshi's friends. So you came to help him out. Also, he trapped Yoshi in an egg.
And so you came to help Yoshi out by enslaving him and forcing him to do your bidding.
This is the debut of Yoshi, and he is a pretty cool power-up. Unlike the other Mario power-ups, he's, I guess, on his own. You don't need to get big first. You jump on him, you ride him, he can eat enemies. If he eats a Koopa that doesn't have a green shell, he gets one of 3 special abilities, depending on the shell color.
Well, there are more, even. I think there are 4 abilities. Because there's red that's fireballs.
Red is fireballs, blue is wings, yellow is weird, like...
stomping abilities? Yeah, yeah. I guess green doesn't do anything, huh?
No. Green spits a shell. If you count that as a superpower.
Well, I was thinking because there are, I thought there were 5 levels in Super Star World, although I'm getting...
There are,
myself.
But...
But one of the Yoshis is repeated, or...?
2 of the Yoshis are repeated.
Okay.
So, yeah. Also, if you spin jump off of Yoshi, you abandon him for greater heights.
Works well to get... to higher locations, if you don't mind dropping the dinosaur.
There have been so many cartoons made in honor of this.
Also, if you get hit on Yoshi, it's an extra hit. He'll start running away, and you can reclaim him as long as he doesn't dumbly run into a pit before you jump on him.
So, usually, after you get hit, followed closely by the exclamation, get back here, you stupid dinosaur.
You can often get lucky and he'll get trapped in a place where he'll just, like, every time he hits a wall, he just reverses direction. So sometimes he'll get stuck between 2 walls and just run back and forth repeatedly, which makes it a lot easier to find him. There's, I think in the first world, it might be the second world, a spot where I often lose my Yoshi and there are 2 of the football guys there. I'm like, well, he's lost to me now. Bye, Yoshi.
The linebacker Koopas?
Yeah.
Charging Chuck is his name. This is one of 2 games he's in.
He's got a name?
Charging Chuck. There's also one that throws baseballs.
I saw
him. One that throws boulders.
Is the one that kicks the football before charging also Charging Chuck?
I think so. I don't know.
Although those show up pretty rarely.
But they're incredibly annoying.
So, power-ups in this game. You have the mushroom like always, the fire flower like always. The cape has replaced the tanuki suit.
So it's actually a feather, though, that gives you a cape.
That's true.
For reasons. Actually, that doesn't really make any sense now that I think about it, but...
A leaf gives you the tanuki suit.
Good point.
I like the cape a lot more because superheroes are awesome. You can spin the cape. It's got a little more range than the tail whack, but it's basically the same.
You can also spin away some projectiles with it. The charging chucks we mentioned earlier will throw baseballs. You can knock them out of the air by spinning your cape at them.
Also, the flying mechanics are a little harder, which is nice.
Although the way Mario flies in this game is kind of ridiculous. It's more like gliding, but he'll, like, tuck the cape under his back feet and, like, belly up to catch some wind.
Is it any less or any more strange than the Tanuki suit flying where he's just wagging his tail?
No, I mean, it's probably less strange but more goofy. How about that?
In the remake of this game, actually, when you get Yoshi, if you have the cape, it's Blue Yoshi, which makes it sound way easier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Man.
Wait, in what remake?
The Game Boy one.
Oh, okay. So, that's also, if you're riding a Yoshi without the cape, you cannot fly, but instead Yoshi will just jump really high, and then you'll slowly glide down.
So they're pretty cool power-ups. The cape is really cool for getting the secrets.
So that's one of the things that I feel like kind of distinguishes this game from other games, is that there are branching paths available on the world map that you can't see until you unlock them.
Super Mario 2 had certain secret places where you could get a whistle to skip ahead.
I thought that was 3 had the whistle.
What did I say?
2.
2.
I meant 3.
Although 2 also had the potion doors that you could use to skip ahead.
And 1 had the pipes.
I guess what distinguishes this, though, is that there's a world map, which 3 had, but the things on the world map on 3 weren't hidden. You could see them.
Certain levels in this game have hidden exits, which go to different places on the world map, which is cool. Sometimes they're a shortcut, so you don't have to do certain levels. Sometimes they lead to switch palaces, and when you hit a switch on a switch palace, it fills in blocks on levels that usually make them easier or provide extra power-ups.
Green switch blocks, for example, will give you feathers. Yellow ones will give you mushrooms. I don't think any actually give you fire flowers, even though there is a red switch palace.
And a lot of times they'll just be over pits or under thwomps to negate those obstacles.
Yeah, I noticed that. Got the first one, which made one of the levels that involves a lot of jumping over pits.
It kind of encourages going out and exploring and trying to find the switch palaces before progressing too far. But I think there's only 4 or 5 switch palaces in the entire game. And there are, what, 8 worlds still in this?
7.
Okay.
It's kind of weird.
Are we counting Star World, though?
No, I'm not. Okay. So if you count that, there are 8. The other thing secret levels can get you, usually you have to find secrets on multiple levels in a row, is you can get to the Star Road, which is kind of the replacement for the warp pipes. It lets you skip levels. Also on the Star World worlds, though, you can find baby Yoshis that have different colors. And anytime they eat a shell, they get a power-up of their color. Blue Yoshi always gets flying when he eats a shell.
But he will also spit out a fireball if it happens to be a red shell, which is convenient. They're like, they're combination abilities. Like, Yellow Yoshi will always ground stomp, but if he happens to get a blue shell, he'll also have wings for a little bit of time.
Huh, that's interesting.
It's pretty cool and a pretty good reward for finding these secrets. It adds a little replayability to the game.
I generally prefer blue Yoshis because being able to fly is really useful, especially for finding those
secrets.
Generally
speaking, being able to fly in anything is really useful.
Yeah, especially a platformer, which is about not falling into pits.
Yeah, Kirby has taught us that. Flight makes pits trivial.
Yep, which is why you need to put a bunch of enemies in the air. There needs to be an armada hovering right above you, waiting for you to take off.
Well, they're flying blocks.
Flying blocks? Oh, yeah, they're flying blocks. I forgot about those. The blocks with wings. You hit
their wings. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about the, like the original Mario, there are, like, you can go down pretty much any pipe you can find. Well, let me rephrase that. You should try to go down every pipe you find, because sometimes you'll be able to go down them. Occasionally, you'll get to a mini-game that allows you to, like, try to guess 3 in a row of, like, it's like weird tic-tac-toe, except it's completely random.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. It's basically you have 3 blocks above you, and...
I got one of those, but I think I jumped clear of one of them.
That happens sometimes. Basically, if you hit them in the right order, you get an extra life.
But the order is random, so you can't know. So it's basically just like, here's a potential number of free lives from 0 to 3.
It's not entirely random, because if I get the first one, I always get them all. And I don't know how I know, but I know.
It's a little bit like the...
I wonder if there's an order to it that I've just never noticed.
The ladder minigame, was it from Land?
Yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of that minigame, all the exits in this, instead of flagpoles, they're like triple jump bars.
Except you can't triple jump in this game yet.
True.
So.
And if you hit the bar, you get like some star points, and if you get 100, you get a like slot machine life minigame.
Well, I thought you were trying to jump over them.
No,
you want to hit them, but the higher they are when you hit them, the more stars it's worth.
And then every 100 you get, you go to a minigame where there's like, is it only one in the middle and then like the others rotating
basically
around? It's a 3x3 square, basically.
Basically, it's like a tic-tac-toe game, but the center is fixed for you and the others are on randomly rotating blocks.
Additionally, there's a bunch of icons that represent power-ups, and you have to try to match them. The more in a row that you get matched, the more lives you get at the end of the minigame.
Is it a little bit like the slider thing in Mario 3?
Very similar. Only you're trying to make tic-tac-toes of them instead of just getting three. So, yeah. The other major addition to this game is ghost houses.
I love ghost houses. Apparently, I'm in a minority.
They help play into the secret exit thing because they're basically mazes, and there's usually some trick to get out.
Yeah. Oftentimes, if you don't go through the right door in a ghost house, it'll shove you back to, like, the beginning of the room or, like, one of the rooms that you've already been to.
Oh, God, this sounds annoying as all hell.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people don't like them, is because you can, if you're not looking for potential tricks, you can end up wandering around in a ghost house for a long time. When I first played this game as a kid, I definitely lost a couple lives due to timeout in there.
Yeah, and usually the door you actually need to go to is hidden somehow. Either you need to hit a P block to get it, or... sometimes it's as simple as you don't go in the first door you see, you go in the second door you see. Although the last one requires you go into the second to last door, which is especially devious.
The first ghost house you can encounter in this game actually has three valid exits to the ghost house.
Yep.
I think one of them doesn't give you a new path, though. So I really like the ghost houses because they make you think outside of move direction, end game.
It sounds like an interesting mechanic. It just sounds like, or it sounds... like something that they should have added, but it also sounds like something that should never have made it past this game because that is super annoying.
Yep, most people don't like them.
Exploration is fine, but when you're stuck on a timer for exploration just to get out...
the timer is the really big thing. Although, on the other hand, that puts a cap on it. It says, well, you've tried this long, why don't you take a break and go do something else and try again later? But I...
that's not up to the game to tell me.
Well, yeah, but how many people do you know that are obsessive and will just try endlessly?
Yeah, I kind of think good games, that is an important part of good games, is issuing in breaks like that. One of the reasons this is my favorite Mario game is that when you get a game over, you go back to your last save, and saves are prevalent enough that that's not a big deal, but they're still rare enough that when you're on your last life, you feel tension. Like, lives are still important, unlike in recent Mario games, like, oh, you ran out of lives. We'll have five more, and we'll put one tally mark on your shame-o-mom-er, your shame-o-meter. Or, like, Galaxy, where there's literally no point to lives. But they're not as important as in the first couple of Mario games. Really, I just think this game hits a lot of things on the sweet spot. There are more coins than previous minigames, but there isn't the deluge minigames. More coins than in previous Mario games, rather. But there isn't the deluge that the recent ones have. They're like, I heard you like coins, bro, so here is every coin forever. I just think they hit a lot of things on the sweet spot. And also, you can see a lot of the ideas for Mario 64 brewing here. The the Switch Palaces are very similar to the power-up blocks in Mario 64. The exploration focus is very similar to the main goal of Mario 64. It's a very interesting pivot point.
You know, I didn't even... that had never occurred to me, but now that you're saying it, yeah, I can totally see a lot of these ideas making their way into 64. One of the reasons I like it is just because there's a lot of different biomes. They feel different, and they aren't generic, like, ice, fire.
Yeah, there's the Lost Woods, which is all I found finding secret extras.
There's a dinosaur world, I think, called Choco Land or something like that, that's just a bunch of dinosaurs wandering around. Also, there are a lot of dinosaurs in this game, which is weird for a Mario game.
Yeah. The one thing we haven't touched on is bosses. They work pretty similarly to Mario 3, but there's a little more variety. There's one type of boss that you have to jump on till he falls in lava.
Yeah, that one got me killed a few times because I didn't know that you weren't supposed to just jump on him a couple times and wait for him to die.
You know, I forget that every single time I start playing this game again. So I'm just like, okay, I jumped on you three times. Why haven't I won yet?
That was what I was doing. I'm like, wait, why aren't you dead yet?
Do you take five hits like some Zelda bosses? All right, bring it on.
There's one that you're on five warp pipes and he'll randomly come out of one and you have to dodge fireballs while jumping on him. There's one that works like, I think one in Mario 3 where he'll go up on the ceiling and you have to run under him to get him down and then jump on him before he gets back on the ceiling.
There's a giant boo in one of the ghost houses and you're on like a bunch of blocks that you can pick up and then kick upwards and you have to wait for him to chase you to kick the block behind you and have him like run into the block while it's in midair.
And this is the debut of Bowser's clown car.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
What?
Bowser's clown car.
So are you familiar with the clown car?
Familiar with the clown car, yes.
Not a clown car, the clown car.
The one that Bowser Jr. has in Smash.
Yeah, it's like a white kind of orb
thing. Oh, is it like
thing.
The cup thing?
Yeah, it's like a white cup thing with a demonic clown face painted on it.
Yes.
And it has a propeller. Bowser is in that as the end boss in this game. he drops Mecha Koopas and you have to hop on them and then kick them up in the air and try to catch Bowser midair with a Mecha Koopa.
You can also throw stuff up in this game. This is the first one you can do that. Shells and other things
some,
you can pick
some
up.
Blocks some enemies you can pick up.
The Goombas are Goombas, but when you jump on them, you can pick them up. And so you can throw things up to hit blocks above you or Bowsers.
Or Bowsers. Or Boos. Although, are Boos or Bowsers worse?
Probably Bowsers. Okay. I actually find the end boss of this game a little difficult for a Mario. Not terribly, but it might be the hardest Bowser end boss in a Mario game. I'm trying to think of one that's harder now.
You know, I keep trying to think of what actually happens in the end boss of this game, and I'm like, okay, he drops a Koopaline, you pick it up, and then King K. Rool comes jumping across the screen. I'm like, no, you don't belong to this game.
I have beaten precisely one Bowser.
One Bowser?
I've only ever beaten one Mario game. That was just one of the newer ones where you get to play with four people. And I spent most of that fight trying to kill other people.
That was a lot of fun.
And I killed that Bowser while Zach was trying to murder me, so that was definitely not harder. I really like the levels leading up to the end of New Super Mario Bros. Wii, but the boss himself isn't that hard. He does get resurrected with necromancy after you drop him in lava, so that's pretty cool.
Turns out throwing toads at him doesn't actually damage him, although it does cause people to swear at you.
Which is, you know, that's his own reward.
That's the point.
One of the other things that they added to this game that was in Super Castlevania, and I mentioned that it's kind of Super Mario World-y, is that some of the castles will have, like, these platform, or, like, chain-link fences, basically, that you can climb on.
Oh, yeah.
And you can switch around to the other side at certain points. You can, like, bonk on it. But there are, like, Koopas that crawl on one side or the other, and you can, like, punch them through the wire.
Yeah, that's in a couple Mario games after that, but you're right, that does debut here.
Yeah, that's true, I remember that one. The thing that got me was the fact that if you pick up a mushroom and are already big, it'll store it for if you get hit.
Yeah, oh, we forgot to talk about storing power-ups, because that's another big thing about this one. Unlike the American version of 3, when you get hit, you automatically shrink even with a power-up, but now you can store one power-up, and you can use it by hitting select, or if you get hit, it will automatically drop, and you can try to get it to come back to power.
With what is, to me, one of the most iconic noises in all of Mario, even though I don't think they ever use it again, it's like kind of a draining noise.
It's like dunka, dunka, dunka?
Yeah, it's like dunka, dunka, dunka. okay, I actually have a really quick kind of non-sequitur question. Is regular Mario tiny, or is Super Mario huge?
Since his name is Super Mario, I'm going to say that he's big, although in a lot of the recent games, his default size seems to be Super Mario, so...
Yeah, and he just shrinks when he gets hurt? Also, does that cause problems if, like, you're doing physical labor and you, like, drop an I-beam on your toe? And, like, the toads shrink too, right? So, like, how many deaths at the workplace have there been because of this?
See, Mario is actually not that big or anything like that. He's just stoned out of his mind on mushrooms.
Well, I mean, clearly, but Peach does it too. So, I mean, are they all just in a room together being high the entire time?
Yeah. Why do you think the worlds are so messed up? Yoshi's like his pet lizard.
Bowser
in a tank
is actually
nearby.
Just Zenigata trying to get them on pot charges.
Yeah, exactly.
Those Mecha Koopas he throws at you are actually handcuffs.
But... Yes. Do we have anything else to say about Super Mario World? Like I said, it's my favorite 2D Mario. I think my favorite Mario. It innovated a lot of stuff. Yoshi is really cool. The difficulty curve is just really good. I think they just kind of had it all figured out.
Yeah, I love the little bit of momentum you carry after jumping in this. Like, you slide a little bit when you turn after running.
If you play this game, don't use a GameCube controller.
That is my advice for a lot of things, even games that were on the GameCube. So.
That's because the GameCube controller was terrible.
It's fine, but it is not good for Super Nintendo games.
It's bad okay. In general.
I mean, I think a lot of games were designed around the
fact that the controller was terrible rather than the controller being used well.
Like, Metroid Prime was a great game, and the controller was perfect for that game, but I think they designed the controls specifically so that the controller wouldn't be an impediment.
It's too small and the cord's way too short.
The cord is too short.
Yeah, the cord is...
But that's a matter of it being made for Japanese people who don't have space.
But, I mean, having a longer cord wouldn't really consume more space. I guess it's cheaper to make the cable, though, so... Anyway.
All right, so at our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, we have a list ranking all the games we've played from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger. It's amazing. At the bottom is Golden Axe. It's the worst. You can tell because it's on Sega Genesis.
Not every Sega Genesis is terrible. Sonic 2.
Some of them are Sonic 2. You're right.
Exactly.
Some of them are potentially Sonic 3. I don't actually know how that one holds
and
up.
And Mutant League Football and Mutant League Hockey were fantastic. Unfortunately, can't play those.
I like Gunstar Heroes.
Speaking of Sega, in the middle is Crazy Taxi for the Sega Arcade.
That one's actually not too bad.
Okay, guys, we have to start a flame war and answer the hard questions. So let's just get right to it. Is Super Mario World better than Super Mario Brothers 3?
I think so.
I like Super Mario Brothers 3, but thinking about it, I think World is actually a better constructed game. Because it looks like they learned a lot from what they did in 3 and added it to War and put it as the groundwork for World.
Well, in the new Yoshi, like, both of them are really strong games, but I feel like they did more different things in Super Mario World, probably because they had a lot more room on the cart to do different stuff.
It's hard for me to judge, because when I played 3, I did it on my Game Boy, which had a better constructed thing for it, whereas the controls were awful for this one, because the controller I was using was not developed for this thing. So, but I think the game was better designed.
3 has better gimmicks. The giant world is really cool. The frog suit is really cool.
The boot.
All of the bullets in the last world are cool. The airships are cool.
I also didn't get very far.
But I think that Super Mario World is just a better constructed game.
Super Mario World has an entire level with a bunch of dolphins just flying in midair.
That you have to jump on the dolphins. Well, okay. So, 2 up, we have another big Nintendo Super Nintendo game. Link to the Past. Do we think Super Mario World is better than Link to the Past?
Honestly, yeah. I like Link to the Past a lot, but I think it's got a couple mechanical defects that this game just really doesn't have.
Is that the one where I couldn't find the entrance to the tunnel?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'd have to go with World.
Well, I think Link to the Past is way better than Super Mario World, but I am outvoted. So, 1 up, Mega Man X. My favorite Super Nintendo game, I think, although there are like 4 above it on our list, and I agree those are better. But also, I'll just say Mega Man X, my favorite Super Nintendo platformer. Do we think it's better than Mega Man X, which it's switching weapons and it's chill penguins?
I have a hard time saying that it's better. X is such a slick game. It is hard to beat.
They just made one critical mistake. They should have given you the dash outright.
Yep, and every subsequent game solves that problem.
All right,
which
so
is sad.
It's unanimous. Super Mario World goes 8 on our list, above Link to the Past and below Mega Man X.
That was surprisingly easy to play, so I was expecting that to take a lot longer.
He didn't start it as low.
Ah, that's true.
I mean, the real question is it better than 3 or not? And 3 was number 10 on the list before that.
Is it better than Sonic 2?
Yeah, it is.
Where is Sonic 2, by the way?
Yeah,
Number 19.
I'm a little surprised it's that low.
Well, out of 140... I mean, so
I think it's really, really good.
So do I, but I do think everything above it is better.
I actually haven't looked at the list.
Half-Life is above it, so you would fume at that. So,
I would argue maybe not Metroid, but Metroid is.
I'm surprised Half-Life
really
is up there.
All right,
it's mostly up there because of its historical value. I feel, but
same with Metroid.
It's not really that good.
Doom's above it.
Doom is above it.
Fantastic.
All right, so that's it for this episode. Zach, what are we gonna play next week?
Well, I'm in a Pokemon kind of mood, so I'm thinking that we're going to go ahead and we're going to play a Pokemon game.
Are we going to do Red and Blue because they're finally releasing it on the 3DS, although I don't think it's actually
out yet?
No, I don't think it is.
Well, unfortunately, those being out or not, we'll get back to you eventually. We'll get Twitch to do it
for us.
We're
out on that subject.
Eventually, we'll get Twitch to do it for us, and then you know, just some outsourcing.
Yeah, can we just comment on Twitch Plays Pokemon and just make that the episode?
And then, rather than that, we're going to play some pinball as well. So we're going to go with Pokemon Pinball, Ruby, and Sapphire. We do Red and Blue, but those aren't available.
Red and Blue are supposed to be really good, but so are Ruby and Sapphire. So I guess
we'll
see.
Precious Stones.
Who doesn't?
All right. Next time on Last Time, the Gator already had revenge.
Make a tube shot.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2016. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. Past episodes and other information can be found at www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to contact us, you can reach us by email at ltovg at lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate it if you left us a 5-star review. Podcast over. You have to go to the start screen and load your last save again.